Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, over to Matthew chapter 11. I know you don't believe it. I'm going to try to preach a short message tonight. Amen. I knew you wouldn't believe it, but amen. I need to preach that message that sin found in the Bible is all right for to commit. Amen. Sin's in the Bible that God says all right to commit. I need to preach that one. I mean, I never heard that message. Never heard that message? Well, it's a simple one. There's none, so I'm done. Amen. Amen. All right. Father, thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for this day. Lord, what a time it is that we come this season when there's so many things that burden us. Dear Lord, adults know that Christmas is not like it was when we were young. And when children are centered around the Christmas time and enjoy the presents and the packages and it just seemed to have a joy when you see children's face lit up this time. But yet, sometimes we allow that to override what Christmas is really about, our Savior being born in this world. And so, sometimes it's kind of hard, tough times to go through seasons when you can't do what you'd like to do, some for the family sometimes. But, Lord, we're grateful to know that you're still in charge and those we may forget or seemingly not necessarily forget, but get in a routine to be so busy that we fail to stop and just think about how good you are to us. So tonight we want to do that as we look at what Jesus said here in Matthew. Honor yourself, Father. Holy Spirit, honor the Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. You know this by heart. You've said it many times. You probably can quote it. When Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly and in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your, watch this, souls. Isn't that interesting? Now, we think of rest mainly as being a physical labor, resting for physical labor, even though we know that God certainly didn't need rest after creation of 7 days or 6 days. He rested the seventh day. But here Jesus is talking about a rest that's beyond physical rest. By the way, I really believe when you have rest for your soul, you can then learn how to have rest for your body. Some people say, well, rest for the body, just do a lot of exercise. If you don't have rest for your soul, you don't have complete rest for your body. There's a lot of things you can't sleep too good at night all the time if you don't have rest for your souls. There are some things that happen during the daytime keep you awake at night. You know that? And even we who have rest for our souls stay awake sometimes or wake up during the night. But I'll tell you this. I've experienced it both ways. I'd rather wake up my relationship with the Lord and be able to talk to Him and know things are where they ought to be than wake up and not have that relationship. There's a peace there. And that's what the Lord is talking about right here. He gives three commands that summarizes the invitation here. Those three you see in verse 28, he said, come. Now, this is different what the Pharisees say. The Pharisees say, do. The world says, do. Jesus said, come. This invitation here is peace to come and have peace with God. There is no peace in this world, no matter what man may say, unless there is peace with God. You can be in the very adverse circumstances and have peace with God and understand what it means to have that peace, though there may not be peace around you. And so the first invitation is come, not like the Pharisee says do, but to come to Him, and it's having peace with God. The second invitation is He said, take my yoke upon you. The word take here is the peace of God. This is a deeper rest of surrender and obedience. One thing to come to God and have peace, peace with God. But you can have peace with God and yet still not have that rest of surrender and obedience to Him. There's a lot of God's people who had peace with God through Christ, but they never know what it is to be completely obedient. They don't know what it is sometimes to be completely surrendered. And this peace of God comes when you have that complete surrender. So you come to Him, have peace with God. Take my yoke upon you is to have, again, the peace of God. And then He says, learn of me. I like that. I am meek. That means He's gentle, lowly in heart. He's humble in heart. And ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, learn. It means simply to love calls. His love causes us literally to move in the right direction. So we come to Him to have peace with God. We surrender to Him to have the peace of God. We learn of Him that we might in turn move in the direction that God wants us to move. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're not learning what God says about direction He wants us to go, we're going in the wrong direction. I guarantee you and I don't have the ability to find out what God's direction is in our own energy. He has to tell us what that is. So I want to talk a little bit about God's rest area tonight. Rest area. Now this come about, have you ever been traveling somewhere and on the interstate highway? And as you travel along for a long distance, suddenly you see that beautiful sign. It's real small, but it says something like rest area. You ever seen that? Have you ever seen that when you're real tired? You don't travel too much then, I guess. But I'll tell you what, when you're traveling along, you're kind of tired, you're kind of drowsy, your head's been bobbing, and you know good and well that you're a little bit tired. You pull into this area. You pull in for refreshment. You pull in for a drink of cold water or a cold soda pop of some kind. And even sometimes you said, boy, if I can just rest my head just a little bit, I just like to lay back and get a nap. And did take maybe a 10, 15 minute nap. I've done that many times. And it amazes me when you pull over, you stop, get just a little bit of a nap. In just a little while, you wake up refreshed and ready to finish the trip. And there's not one in here, if you ever done that and said, boy, I tell you, that sure helped me. You ever done that? That surely helped me. Well, I got news for you. God has a rest area to help you better than that rest stop. And He tells us to come to Him for that. Now, I like to, Barbara and I, she's my, let's see, can I co-pilot when we're driving? And a few years ago, when we going up 95, headed towards New York at that time, I think it was, first time I remember getting really drowsy, driving a long distance, and she would always say, you know, I can drive. And I said, all right, I pulled over. She got on the wheel, and I walked around, and I sat down on the right-hand side, the passenger side, and when she drove off, I was wide awake. I could not go to sleep. I couldn't even hold my head up before she got under the wheel. And I was right awake. And I told her, I said, Barbara, I don't know what's wrong. I can't believe I woke up that fast. She ain't even got in the road hardly good. So we were going again, coming another place. And again, I got kind of drowned. She said, I can drive. And I said, well, you know, just sure as well, if I pull over here and you get under the wheel, I'll be wide awake. So we was going up. I think it was 95. We're coming down 95. And I said, I'll tell you what let's do. Slide over here where I'm at. She hadn't done that in a long time. She's the one to move. I never moved. I'm right where I've always been. She slid over there where I said, what I want to do, there's no use for me to stop and get out and get on your side because I'm going to be wide awake. I said, going down the road, you know, we travel this way, and you sit right here next side of me, and I'm going to lay my head back and take a nap and let you drive. Now, I don't recommend you do this, but so help me, I did that. And she had more got hold of the wheel, I woke up. That's a true story, I'll tell you. But, you know, there's areas at times you love to just rest. And that's what the Lord is telling us we can do right here. Boy, that really did help me. Some of us today, ladies and gentlemen, need a place of rest. We need a rest stop. We need to take a few minutes and zero in on what the Lord is talking about here. Life is coming to us in all different directions. Work is hectic and busy. Well, we're putting in all kinds of hours in the job. And you just don't know how long you'll be able to keep up with the pace sometimes. It gets wearisome to try to keep up with the pace. Most people work for someone else and therefore do it because of that. And even if you work on your own, you're still working for someone else more than likely. So we got a lot of things that's coming at us from different angles. Your marriage is in place. Is in a place that's not good for you, or maybe even honoring God, or children are rebellion, or going in a direction that you know will end up hurting in the long run. You feel dry spiritually to some degree. I'm just listing things that we find ourselves in. Your spiritual well may seem to be drying up. Financial problems are plaguing us and making you feel like you're in a corner and you just can't get out. There may be a sin in your life that keeps you tied up in knots all the time. If it is, you will be tied up in knots if you're a child of God. And if I'm a child of God, and we are, so therefore we expect that God not let us get by with things that where we could get by years ago before we were saved. Maybe you need to pull into God's heavenly rest ever for just a few minutes and go to the Word of God and feed upon that and apply it to your life. Jesus wants us to be yoked with Him so that we can have the peace with Him, and we have that through Jesus Christ. And then He wants us to be so yoked after we're saved to have the peace of God, which He gives to us as we're in this life. To walk with His yoke gives us the power to face what life brings. He gives us the power to face the things that Satan throws at us. He encourages us to just lay our burdens at His feet. Now, we go to God asking a lot of things, and we ask God to help us, but how many times have we learned to lay our burdens at His feet? I think about that song we sung during camp meeting a couple of years ago. He is here to meet your needs. He is here you can receive. Lay your burdens down at His feet, for He's here, He's right here to meet your needs. Sing it with me one time. He is here to meet your needs. He is here, you can receive. Lay your burdens down. God's here, ladies and gentlemen. And I want you to know, not only is He here to meet the need of the world to be saved, but for you and I who are saved, He's not abandoned us. He still wants us to lay our burden down at His feet. Now, I want to give one point for come, take, and learn. Notice He said, come unto me, all ye that heavy laden, or laboring and heavy laden. God wants to provide with us a rest and a peace in these verses as we give Him our burdens. He does not care what they are when we give them to Him. He does not care. He's able to lift every burden, and He's able to take care of every burden that you and I may face in this life. And ladies and gentlemen, there's no strings attached when it comes to God and putting our burdens at His feet. He simply says, come unto me. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 5 for just a moment. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter puts it this way. He says, casting all your care. Watch this. Not in the plural there, but in the singular. Verse 7 of chapter 5. Casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. Hey, this is after you're saved. Sometimes we kind of forget that God cares for us, doesn't He? We know He cares for the world. Jesus came and died. But after we get saved, He still cares for us. And He teaches us to cast our care as a singular care at one time. We can come back and come back and come back and come back. This is not just to give our worries in the plural to God one by one as they come. He's telling us here that there's a packet. There's an arena there. And I drew out beside my message as I was studying this in the last a little bit, I drew out and drew a little circle. And in that arena, I put care. It's a package of, it's an arena where He says care. Cast your care upon me. Now, that is the arena that it's in. And any cares or problems I got in that arena, I can give to him. And he says, he's got time. I don't just have to bring the whole ball of wax and put it down thinking God's, he's got, you know, he don't have enough time to take care of each individual one, that I'll just give them all to him. And by the way, that's what he wants us to do. He wants to be sure we understand that we can give to him our care, which has and engulfs our cares in the plural. In other words, in that arena of where cares can be given, it's called care, and he's saying, I'll be there for every one of them. Well, when I put 25 cares in that arena care, it makes no difference. He's omnipresent. He can be there for every one of them. In other words, God has said, I've got enough time. Don't come just think God bring the ball of wax and mention them all one time. I've got enough time for you. I love you enough that you put every care down singly. And he said, cast them to me. Cast them to me. I don't know if they'll work. I think sometimes I look at it. He didn't say just hand them to me. He said, cast them to me. That tells me, ladies and gentlemen, something about life. Sometimes we feel like we're in such a place in our life that we can't get close enough to God, that where he'd hear our prayer. Hey, when you get there, cast them to me. I'll take every one of them. I can help you with every one of them. But somehow or another in that package arena, unless we cast them individually, he don't come to the rescue as quick. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when we learn to cast to him those cares, he's helping us develop while we're waiting on him to do what he wants to do with those cares and coming back to reciprocate to us at that particular time. There's no strings attached. He simply said, just come unto me. This means to deposit our whole future to God and not worry about what would come. God has given us that privilege. It's not that we are human and don't worry, because we do. I wish I could say here, if you'd learn to do this, you'd never worry again. But because God has promised us this can be done, because we are human, we are insufficient, we are limited in the way what we know completely, we can be the highest and close to God as can be in one little circumstance, throw us in a tailspin. As if God doesn't really understand. He's talking this past week of the Lord saw fit for a loved one to go home. And one of the family said, I don't understand why God would take my loved one that fast. It ain't right. Yes, it is. God never does anything wrong. Now, I may not understand it. And I may can't get it in my, it might hurt me desperately. But I'll tell you this, God never does anything wrong. He always does that which is right. And we may have to get to heaven one day to see exactly how it came out right for us. So here in these verses, verse 8, 10, and 11, in 1 Peter chapter 5, a healthy mind keeps you attention on right things for a clear vision for the future. To be spiritually alert with the promises of God, to claim them, will keep your attention on right things. A healthy mind produces joy like a healthy body produces energy. And he teaches us here, God has a rest area for our soul. And if that is fit in, well, we have the peace of God and we have peace with God and peace of God. And then we have that peace that God talks about in the sense it causes us to move in the right direction. We're going to find rest in ways that you'd be surprised at the time that sometimes when you at night alone water your pillow with tears. How God can come at a certain moment and give you a peace that you can't explain. It overwhelms you. Notice how David encouraged us in Psalm 55. Turn over there just a moment. And look down about verse 22. David said, cast thy burden in the singular upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. That word sustain means provide. He shall literally maintain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Look back in Matthew chapter 6 and look what Jesus said along this line. We're talking about this encouragement, this peace with God that brings the peace of God, that gives us the peace of the right direction. Jesus said in Matthew 25, and sometimes we look at this and read hurriedly, but he said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat? and the body more than raiment? And so I said, well, isn't that amazing? God is saying, you don't have to worry about what you eat. Well, he's saying, yeah, you might worry about what you eat, but he says you're going to have enough. God's going to supply your need. And I look around, most of us, we don't have very much need of food. And he said, behold, the fowls of the air, and goes through that, verse 28, saying, why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which to say is, and which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? You say, you mean Jesus is talking to me? Yes, he's talking to me. He's talking to you and I when we face things in this life. Then notice on down, he said in verse 32, for after all these things that the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Oh, let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart no matter where you're at. God knows where you're at. God knows what you need. Cast your burden before him. Take therefore, he says, no thought for tomorrow. Now, he's not telling you to be foolish. How do I know that? Because he showed us in another place where he gave out talents, and he gave some 10, some 5, some 1. And the one who had 1 hid it. The others who had doubled it. So you know, he tells us to be wise in our economics and business affairs, that we should not only work, but also look to the future to some degree. He encourages that. In fact, he was very much harsh against the one who took his talent and buried it. And he gave others credentials and really, you might say, encouraged them. The fact that the one that had 5 doubled it, right? He had made 10. So he invested it somewhere or another. So I know he's not talking to us in this life that we're just not take no thought in the sense of existence. But he's saying when it comes as far as our relationship to God, we don't have to be worried about those things. He said, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So David encourages showed us how to encourage ourselves. Jesus has taught us how to encourage ourselves. This is not just asking God to carry us through, then never giving him our burden. Lord, I want you to help me get through this, but what's your burden? Well, I just want you to help me get through this. What is this? What are you talking about this? You say, God already knows. I know, but he wants us to come to him and acknowledge the fact that he knows, and he can help us in those circumstances of life. I read where there's a story years ago in mule wagon days. Said a man was riding down the road, a dirt road, and there was had his horse hooked up to the wagon, and he saw a stranger walking down the road. Had a big, heavy pack on his back, and he stopped and offered the stranger a ride in his wagon. And the guy got up in. He said, "I'm so thankful that you stopped and let me ride with you. I was getting kind of tired." And he noticed the stranger still had the pack on his back, and he said, "Sir, let me ask you a question. Why don't you take that pack and lay it down in the wagon?" And this feller made this statement. He said, "Oh, no, I couldn't do that. You've been too good to carry me now." He said, "I would not expect you to carry my burden also." Hey, if you're in the wagon, you're already carrying the burden. Amen? And I said, "Amen. Lord, that's a tremendous thing to see. If you're in Christ, he's already got the burden. He just wants you to acknowledge what it is." Hey, you're not in Christ and the burden's sitting outside of Christ. If you're in Christ, everything you are is in Christ. Sometimes he wants us to acknowledge the fact what the burden is. And when we do, he's honored by that. We do not take God. We want God to take care of us, but we don't want to give him our burdens that we're carrying sometimes. We're to give him the burden. As he said, "Take ye my yoke upon you," here in Matthew chapter 11. What is a yoke? Anybody who's ever been on a farm much understands what a yoke is. In my day, because I didn't come along at the time when they had ox and had yoke. We had collars. Not you eat, the kind that went on horses. A yoke, I didn't know what a yoke was other than the fact to hear stories about it. Because when we came along, we didn't use ox. But before they had mules, people used ox years ago. But I know what it is. We call a collar you put on a horse to pull a plow with. If you had a double a plow or disc or whatever pulling, and you had an old mule or an old ox, and you had a new one just out of the gate, didn't have good sense, had to be broken and so forth. What you did, you put the new one with the old one. You yoked them together. And the old ox or the old mule would end up causing that young one to slow down. They'd learn by pacing with the old one. Boy, you don't know what it is to be raised on a farm. You learn a lot of stuff you didn't know. And here he's talking about this. Do not hang around people who have no real vision for God and limit him with their constant attitude or question attitude. In other words, you will become like them. But you take God's yoke put on you, you're going to come like him. He's carrying the burden. You heard me tell the story. I mean, one time down that, and this is the way God is. He gives us examples of earthly life. I mean, one time down fixing a fence, we had a big roll of wire. And I don't know how old I was. I was probably 10 year old. Maybe been around 10 plus or minus a year or so. And I remember we had to take that big roll of wire and towed it. And I asked my dad about helping him. And he took a long pipe and put in that roll of wire. And I got a hold of the other end of it. And we went walking down the field, across the field, to put that wire up. And I said, "Isn't that an amazing thing? I'm as strong as my dad." But I didn't notice until later found out he had wire buckled on his side. And I was sitting way out here. I didn't have a problem no more than just a stick in it. But he and I would hold it. He and I were carrying that burden. But he was carrying it. He just let me tag along. And one day as I studied this, I said, "Praise be the Lamb of God." That's what God has said. Hey, I can't carry it to start with. If I could, I wouldn't need him. I need him. He's carrying the bulk of it. He just let me enjoy the ride. But he said, "Son, to ride, you need to let me know that you understand what I'm doing." We're going to have this communication because I already know you don't. You need to know that when you mention to me, I'm doing things for you that you may not completely understand now, but you will one of these days. We walk along beside him and we learn of him because become gentle and humbled at heart. He wants us to be like him. The yoke kept the young ox again from doing his own thing. He soon learned to be obedient to the master because the old ox would be obedient and of course the old mule would be obedient. Being committed to Jesus by his yoke brings his peace to us. Peace means that we can rest in him. Hebrews talks a lot about peace. There's peace of Israel. There's peace before God as a Christian. There's a rest of peace. And so here the Lord is showing us when we're committed to Jesus Christ, that yoke, being yoked to him, means that we can rest in peace. He can gain peace. You heard me say the other night, there's not probably many of you, have you ever been into surgery somewhere or another and they start giving that wonderful gas they give you and you just go into no man's land. And you get to thinking right beforehand, "I'm so grateful that I know the God of this universe. I'm so grateful, Lord, I can come to you and pray and know you hear my prayer. And you're not, just because I'm going into that emergency room, you're not going to abandon me. I may feel abandoned, but you're not going to abandon me." And what a wonderful thing to know that, because that peace means that we can rest in him. And when we give him our burden and take his yoke, rest comes. Come, take, learn. Come, the peace of God. Take, or peace with God. Take peace of God. Learn of me, that you may know the direction that I want you to go. And when you go, I'll be carrying the load, and you can just come along and be the person for me, an outlet, a mouthpiece or something. When we give him our burden, he takes his yoke, and take his yoke, his rest comes to us. Now, Jesus Christ is the rest for our soul. That's what he said. You shall find rest for your soul. When you think about provisions, he affirms God's provision. He affirms God's promise and puts yourself in the Bible pages in context. When you affirm his promise, you're putting yourself in Bible context of that promise, and God is bound to meet that criteria because he's made a promise. He don't have to say he has to do it right then. But he's bound somewhere to do that. And that's what we do. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong in going to the scriptures and finding something in context of something in the past and making a claim to God. Listen, I can go to the Psalms and claim the joy and the blessings of God as much so as David can. He lived in a different time, but the promises are there. But I got to learn that when I do that, do like David. Put him on the throne. Let Your heart know that He's who He said He is. And give Him honor and praise and glory to begin with. And then come beyond that and say, now, Lord, this is who I believe You are. This is what I asked for. And then when you finish asking for it, give Him honor and praise again. Whatever happens is okay because He's in charge. That'll bring peace to your soul. After all, we can't change it anyhow. You know, an amazing thing that what we can do medically today, and we can't change one thing when it comes to death, we're still going to die. Isn't that amazing? And I'll be honest with you. We're living back to the biblical times, what, 70 and 10, and by reason 80. But I'll tell you what, when you get about 60, 65 years old, your quality from then on ain't going to be a whole lot. And when you get to be 70, 75 years, it's worse. And when you get into your 80s, and you have to live a good long time, quality of life is not all that good like it was when you were in your 40s. So we're living longer, but what is the quality of life? Thank God for that peace. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Thank God when you had your young age, you gave it to God. And when you get older, you want to and can't. And you can have that memory and say, I'm so glad I let God have my good days. I'm so glad I was faithful to the house of God when I get where I can't be faithful. I'm so glad that God saw in my heart my love for Him. I'm glad that others saw around me as they looked at my life. There's some things that while I had my being, I did my best to be faithful at, to serve God. And when I get older and I can't, I don't see how Satan can bother me too much about trying to get me down, because if Lord let me be, I probably will never be 80 years old. If I am, can't go to church. I thank God I went when I had the best. In other words, I give God the best of my life, not try to give it to Him when I couldn't give it to Him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We're just talking now tonight about life. While resting, learn to filter and replace. Take time to free your mind. Visualize Jesus sitting right there next to you. Folks, let me tell you, there's nothing wrong in you visualizing Christ being right there next to you. Say, preacher, isn't that idolatry? No, sir. You know what idolatry is. You're not worshiping something besides Him. Christ wants to be more real than just some mythical phantom. I challenge you sometime or another when you're alone. I know you won't do it when you're in front of somebody. They think you're crazy. Get a chair and sit down beside him and say, Lord, I'm sitting here and I'd like you to sit beside. I want to talk to you. Say, preach, that's out of your mind. No, it's not. Because I'll tell you this. He's not there in the chair. He's in my heart. But you can't feel Him in the sense that you see you or see Him like you see you. We can feel it. I'm not seeing Him like you see each other. And so sometimes it's just good to know, I know You're in my heart, Lord, but there's so many things that goes on in my life sometimes that I must grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So I just want to sit down, chat with You a little bit, Lord, and start giving Your burden out before Him. Open up. Talk to the Lord. He's better to talk to than anybody else. Just talk to Him. Find some scripture to quote. Find some things that David said. Find someone else said. And by the way, anything you face somewhere or another, you can find something that somebody in the scripture had said about it to show us what to do at that particular time. Take time to free your mind and visualize Jesus sitting right next to you. Ask Him to fill your empty mind with His perfect wisdom. That's what James 1 tells us in 5 and 6. Lord, I want my mind clean. I want my mind completely empty. I want You to fill it with that which has to do with Your input, Your word. Give me wisdom. You said if any man asked, You'd give it liberally. Give me wisdom, Lord, about this thing. I know You love me, Lord. And I know You see my heart and You know I love You. I'm not trying to make a show in front of people to make them think how religious I am. Lord, I'm Your child. Please help my mind get filled with those things which I know will be reciprocal, because there was a time I did come. There's a time that I did take. And now I'm in a time I'm learning. So You can help me in this life. Ask Him to fill your empty mind with the perfect wisdom of God. Get in and enjoy the rest error of God. Because that's what this is. It's a rest error. I challenge you sometime this week to get along with the Lord. Let Him be sitting beside of you, how you want to do it. Say, Lord, I want you to help me this week to get my mind cleared up. There's so many things that come my way. I'm really in a shock. I don't know what to do. Seems like we know that a lot of times. But I want my mind empty, Lord. And I've got the Bible in before me here. And I want you to lead me what I need to see. I believe this whole thing's a book. I want it in context. And dear Father, I want to. Now, I know I'm in Christ, and I know Christ is in me. I want to enjoy the rest era that God has, the peace you're talking about here. And just for spend a little time like that, I challenge you to do it and see what God can do for you and what He will do for you. Brother Lee and I was talking just here a few weeks ago, and a couple of times where when you have deaf angel come into your family, when you find things take place, sometimes you don't know which way to go, and you just come to the Lord, and how you get along with Him, and suddenly He'll lead you to a certain verse of Scripture or a few verses of Scripture, and you find in that rest He's talking about. And you say, praise be unto God, I can attack hell with a squirt gun now. But don't be surprised by the time you turn around another hour from now, you're caught into something you forgot what you had just an hour before that. He's the same God an hour after that as He was right then. And He understands us, folks. I want to tell you, I don't care where you're at. God has a rest error for you. If you're not saved, it's in Christ. If you're already saved in Christ, there's a rest error for you. If you go to Him and you take the Word of God and open up, I challenge you to go to the book of Psalms, especially when you see David's Psalms and read how David, there's not nobody in here in any worse shape than David got in. He had it in his house for years. And how he approached God and what he did about that. And see how God gave the peace and the rest to David in these circumstances. He'll do the same for you. He's the same God. He doesn't love David's time any better than He loves us. He doesn't love David's time any different than He loves us. He's a God of love equal from everlasting to everlasting. And what a work will work for any of us. We just will have to learn how to tap into it. Father, I want to thank You for the Word of God. Dear Father, we need times just to be encouraged in this life. And I pray tonight, as we read what Jesus said, that our hearts would be encouraged. Lord, we thank You so much for this precious book. There's so much we don't know. But Lord, the little morsels of spiritual bread that we do know, we're so thankful for it. And I pray that You'd help us, even sometimes when we come up short, and many times we do. Lord, You bless us, and then suddenly we come up short, and we kind of go in a little tailspin. We're bewildered, like in a maze. We don't know what's going to happen. So, Lord, help us understand our God is still on the throne. He loves us. He cares for us. And He loves us even more so now as He did before we were saved. And, dear Father, that rest error is there. Come to have peace with God. Take to have the peace of God. Learn to learn the direction that God wants us to go. And that combination to give us the peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, we thank You and praise You. Amen.